Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined ahead of the Merseyside Derby tomorrow by actor Paul Barber. You'd know as Denzel in Only Fools and Horses. And, of course, he was in the Full Monty. Full Monty. It's been a long week. I thought the Full Monty was. He was Horse, but we won't go into the reason why he was called Horse, obviously, in the film. Who else?
Throat.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't a horse when he spoke to us. That was what his character was. It's great, isn't he? Never seen a film in his life.
No.
So what else? What else did we like today?
Mike Ward.
Mike Ward was good. Martin Kellner was good, and we had a bit of a chat. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Paul. And funny you mentioned that. Premier League chiefs and broadcasters are still blaming each other. No one wants to admit who set the price.
Mm.
So, you know, so the Premier League are saying it was the broadcast. Broadcast saying it was $14.95, about $3.20 tomorrow. I'll be blaming both of them.
Yeah.
thanks.
I think the way you tend to read it is that the broadcasters say they're basically just kind of wiping its own face from their point of view. They're not making any money out of it in terms of production costs. And it was the Premier League that suggested the figure. I would be tempted to think that was the case, wouldn't you? Because the Premier League would look at iFollow, $9.99 for the championship, and say
$7.99 for talkie.
We're worth a fiver more. And I think that's how they've arrived at that price point. It's not popular.
In fact,
many Newcastle fans have decided to put the money to a better use, which we'll be discussing later on when we chat to their supporters group about that, and indeed the fact that they're still paying for season tickets when they're not watching games.
Because it's an interesting argument that, because, all right, the quality of the Premier League is better than the Championship, of course it is, but the people who follow both have the same sort of income, so, you know, it's a difficult one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, news of Summer Monty's Fulham still haven't won a game.
Well, I wonder what you were going to do. She's in the papers today, and I wonder if she was going to be Summer. This is Paul Hollywood's former squeeze, although she has managed
to get
her face and her body in the papers most days. But I thought she might be Summer Monty's Fulham didn't do some bad business in the window, especially Loftus-Cheek on loan. That's what she's known as at the moment.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And she says she'd rather be known for something else other than being poor Hollywood's ex, which is sort of ironic, really, because you wouldn't be in the paper unless you were, really. But never mind, keep going. Yeah. I'm sure it'll work for you eventually.
What else does she do? What else has she done? I'll describe her as barmaid. Some of Monty's Fulham have done some good business in the window, especially Loftus-Cheek on loan.
I don't know.
Okay.
I only put it in because I just like the name.
Okay, fair enough.
It's racing from Fakenham today, and President Donald Trump, he always refuses to accept the results from there.
He does.
Fakenham News.
He does. He should have his... That would be great, wouldn't it? Fakenham News with Donald Trump. Wasn't sure about the result of the 3:10. Yeah.
And there's a report on... He'll
get him to rerun it if he doesn't like it. That's basically what he'll do. If the result doesn't go his way,
that's very good.
Just block it and then rerun it.
Very political there.
Yeah.
Where was this bit? You made me... You brought this
I made
to
you...
Our,
oh, yeah. I didn't make you do anything.
No, you brought to my attention a couple of days ago that America want to take part in T20.
They do,
which is a good thing for cricket. But it was such a jingoistic view in the Daily Star today. The editorial said, Americans are planning to hijack cricket and turn it into razzmatazz money spinner. What, more than the IPL?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about?
Have you watched the IPL?
Yeah, it's brilliant, yeah. Isn't it? And then another one. America want to do a Beckham and turn cricket into the next big sport across the pond. Yeah. They make it sound like it's going to be chlorinated cricket. That seems sort of scare
they
story.
Have, they've applied to the ICC to be kind of recognised. Mm. We've talked about cricket in the States before. You've got a lot of expats there, a lot of Asian players, West Indians that are playing the team. I think it's an Afghan guy who plays for the US.
There's a brilliant book, which of course I'm so useless, I can never remember the title, but there's a brilliant book that's based around cricket in New York.
All right.
Played by West Indian players. Yeah, it's an excellent book.
The first time I ever went there, I was got picked up in a cab and it was a Pakistani guy and he was chatting away in the cab and he played cricket every week in Central Park. He was part of a team. And he said there was a lot of cricket being played in New York and around. You'd be surprised.
So. No, absolutely.
Anyway, we'll see. And the ICC will be keen because it's a huge market potentially, isn't it?
Yeah, can't see anything wrong with it. Can't see any downside to it at all. And, of course, all the papers have a slant, either the right wing, left wing, middle. But I am fascinated by The Guardian. This is from a column yesterday. It says, this bloke writing, he says, at the weekend I went to Broadway Market in East London for the first time in 7 months because you don't really need to know this, but I'm telling you anyway. I became semi-obsessed with some walnut saucisson that I tagged there on Instagram. I mean, how middle class is that, honestly? Bob in Arbroath does not eat walnut saucisson. He probably doesn't even know what it is.
Harry tried to sign him. Bondi watched him twice. Flew over to France. First time he didn't play. Second time he had a mare, so we never followed it up.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Christmas. I know Christmas is not far off. And the good people at Hamleys are looking at their toys of the year.
Okay.
And I've spotted something I might get for you. I know maybe shouldn't tell you, but I want to check you'd like it. It's the £70 Ferrari scooter.
That sounds nice.
LED lights on the wheels, a little Ferrari, the prancing horse. And, I mean, you're of a height.
My grandson would absolutely love that. He's mad about anything mechanical.
Well, he's not listening this afternoon.
Well, he might be.
Maybe Grandad Andy could sort that out for him. What about that?
I've
given you a little tip there. But, yeah, the little Ferrari. I don't know if it's motorised. It probably doesn't go at 230 mile an hour. Have you seen people have been doing that? Some guys in one part of Scandinavia souping them up.
Really?
Making them really, yeah.
Did the garden shed.
No, about turbocharging these road scooters that you see. And couple of times I've been run off the road by sort of Herbert seeming to do about 30 mile an hour. Someone's definitely adjusted.
It's not good, is it?
I was going to hear from Jurgen Klopp.
I'd rather hear from Jurgen Klopp.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Now, 11 a.m. tomorrow, game day, before TalkSport's live and exclusive commentary of the Merseyside Derby, you can hear an extended interview with the very own Laura Woods and the Liverpool manager, Jurgen Klopp. In the interview, Laura asks him which Liverpool player he'd choose to help him out in a dilemma.
We have something for you now. This is called Liverpool SOS. So what it is SOS situations where you can only call on one player from your team. So the first one is, you're moving house. You can only call one player from your team to help you move house. Who would it be?
James Milner. I think James lived the longest in the area. James knows everybody. James knows where you get the cheapest prices for everything. James would probably organise it in a millisecond.
Nice. I like what you did there. You're going out. You need someone to look after your kids. Who would you trust to be your babysitter?
I probably would go back to James Milner. So he could sort all the disciplinary and education issues which I left open during the week. So like a 5-hour crash course, how to behave properly. I think that's probably right.
So he's going to be busy, James Milner.
Yeah, he's very busy, isn't he?
Sounds like the rest of them are all a bit flaky. So, but I mean, if you want someone to help you move house, you go Virgil van Dijk. He looks, he's got, you know, someone who could carry some furniture. I mean, poor old James Milner, his back could go. Could be out for weeks. Anyway, you'll hear more of that interview in game day tomorrow.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hi, I'm Leon Osman, former Everton midfielder. I think the Merseyside derby will finish 3-2 to Everton. I think both sides are very strong going forward at the minute, so I see plenty of goals in the game. But I just think Everton's desire to finally get that win will bring them out on top on the day.
Punched away by Jones, comes back to Osman, shoots it in! And Everton are back in the game! Leon Osman goes up to Luis Suarez and celebrates in his face!
This is Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Well, you won't need telling that game day kicks off tomorrow on TalkSport with the Merseyside derby, with Everton on paper certainly with their best chance for some time to overturn the odds. We're joined now by someone you're going to hear on game day tomorrow, is reciting a fantastic poem around the game. He is an actor you'll know from Only Fools and Horses and The Full Monty, The Long Good Friday, Paul Barber. Paul, good to see you.
Hiya, how are you? Yeah, all right, nice to be here.
You've just off air given us a lovely preview of the poem, kind of a red and blue poem, and we'll keep our powder dry on it, but it's fantastic, isn't it?
It does it, yeah. It's nice. It's a nice poem, I thought. As soon as I read it, I thought, I want to do that.
Yeah. You know?
It's going to be in our game day coverage tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah. You'll hear that in all the build-up to the 12:30 kickoff for the game. So was there a choice in it for you, Paul? Was it red or blue, or why did you gravitate one way or the other?
Oh, right. Well, no. When I was a kid, I was brought up in the care system, and I was in one of the children's homes, and the warden said to me one year, Christmas, he said, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, I want an Everton football kit and a pair of boxing gloves, you know. But when I turned up in school, in class, after Christmas, the whole class was red.
So you needed those boxing gloves.
I was the only kid in, you know, the only black kid in my class with a blue shirt on, you know.
Wow.
And one of the one of my classmates, he sort of stood there with his hands on his hips, you know, like Alan Hansen, you know, like as if he's waiting to kick off the ball, you know. And he just looked at me as if to say, like, what have you come as, you know what I mean? So I think that was early days of, like, peer pressure, really. I became a red then.
Yeah, yeah. Have you got to many derbies over the years? Did you go to a lot of games when you were living up in Liverpool?
I never did, no. I used to go to Kop, like, with my school friends and stuff, you know, in the early days, you know. But, yeah.
And sort of Shankly era.
The Shankly era. I was working then in just ordinary jobs and stuff like that. So, yeah. And we had like mad supporters in a little factory that I worked in, you know, and that they were always singing all the Cop songs and all that sort of business, you know. Yeah. So that was really great as well. But as I say, I left Liverpool in 1970, you know.
Right.
To go into, like, you know, show business and stuff.
You haven't lost the accent, have you?
No, not really, no.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Have you got over the Villa game yet?
No, I know, yeah. Well, yeah, I haven't got Sky Sports, you see, so I always watch it, like, afterwards, if you know what I mean, the highlights whatever. But I've got, as I say, a lot of friends in Liverpool, you know, I'm always texting and everything else, you know. And we just all said, like, oh, well, it's just like a drop stitch in life's tapestry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like a hiccup.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We weren't really bothered. You know what I mean? I was texting friends and saying, like, are you bothered? And they were going, like, nah.
Yeah.
And all that, you know, and all the jokes about, you know, letting, you know, they allowed six in, you know, if you know what I mean, the coronavirus thing, you know.
Yeah.
So you had all the jokes about letting seven in and all that business, you know.
Yeah. It's been a great career, hasn't it? I mean, you've been in some really iconic telly and movies as well. I mentioned, but people don't know what they often come up with, The Full Monty.
Yeah.
But you were in The Long Good Friday, which is one of my favourite films.
Oh, yeah,
as well.
with Hoskins. Yeah.
What a film that was. And again, I watched it a little while ago again, and it's still brilliant. It really stands up as a movie.
It is, yeah. I enjoy that film as well. I was actually doing a play on stage at the time for the same writer.
Yeah.
I was doing a play called Sus, which was all about the Sus laws and all that sort of business.
Do you watch yourself back in stuff? I mean, old episodes of Only Fools and things like that?
I do, but I don't... Yeah, Well,
if I
don't purposely say, "Oh, I'm on again tonight."
You don't mark up the old TV times.
No, exactly. You know,
UK gold. Yeah.
No, I've still. Most of my stuff is still on Betamax, if you know what I mean. I still haven't even bought like a box set of CDs or anything of Fools and Horses or anything else, you know.
We talked to John Challis about this a few times and other people who worked on the show.
Roger Lloyd-Peck came in,
which was great, top man. And they were just sort of talking about that sort of the feeling when you worked on that show, that sort of family feel. Did you find that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, as you say, you know, and I think Nicky's actually said it as well. Nicky Lyndhurst, he said, like, you know, we all just used to look forward to the scripts, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, if there was no work around for a while, suddenly your agent would give you a ring and say, get down to Bristol, you know, the script will be there.
Wow,
and
brilliant.
You didn't worry because you knew it was going to be great anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and especially doing scenes with Roger Lloyd-Peck, you know, who played Trigger, you know, it's like, you know, we were great mates in that, you know.
Yeah. Are you a corpser, Paul? I mean, when you're in that situation, are you normally good at not laughing or
I was terrible. I was terrible. You know, I was a corpser. Yeah. I really was. And it was difficult being in a scene with Roger, if you know what I mean, you know, talking about, you know, the back scratcher with the chopsticks, you know. And you're having to sit there, you know, with a straight face, you know, while he's saying, and you stick a hinge on it, you know, and it's good for pointing and all that sort of stuff.
Because he was so deadpan, that must have made it hard, because there was no way he was going to crack.
You know what I mean? And you just would all sit in there, like, biting our tongues and, you know, just to be in a scene with Roger Lloyd-Peck was like, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing was, Roger was so, like, you know, unassuming, if you know what I mean. He was like, we'd go to these, like, the conventions every year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, every October there'd be, like, conventions and all the actors would meet up and we'd sign autographs and have pictures taken with the fans and all that, you know. And the fans would bring in their own, like, DVDs or stuff that Roger had done or the other actors had done, you know.
Yeah.
And fans were bringing in, like, Hammer House of Horror and and all this and putting it in front of him and asking him to sign these, you know. And I'm saying, like, you never told me you did, you know, Fiddler on the Roof and business. And you watch Fiddler on the Roof, you know, since it first came out every year, every Christmas and all that. And I only discovered that Roger was in it about 10 years ago. Do you know what I mean? And I went, like, you never told me you were in that. He said, well, you never asked. You know, and that's the way he was, you know.
So who's going to win the derby, Paul, finally? Who do you fancy tomorrow?
Oh, well, I have to say, you know, Red.
Yeah.
I have to say Red, yeah, of course.
You fancy Everton, though?
But then again, you know what I mean? You know, Liverpool and Everton, you know, the banter and all that. You know, I've got friends on both sides. Yeah. I've been into houses in Liverpool where one half the living room is blue and the other half's red, you know what I mean?
Sure.
All the houses like that in Liverpool, you know. And as you say, and this poem, actually, is more of a coming together, not just red and blue. It's the people of Liverpool. Do you know what I mean? Mm. In times of like COVID and all that sort of business, we all come together. We all came together with the Hillsborough one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, Liverpool red and blue came together. Do you know what I mean? We were all affected, the blues and the reds.
Yeah.
And as you say, when you look at the history of Liverpool anyway, you know, because I've got the actual Liverpool, the LFC channel, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So you get all the history of Liverpool. And it actually started off, didn't it, as Everton, as a blue team, you know, back in the day in the 18, whenever it was, the earliest century and all that. And then, you know, you have the argument and he says, like, well, sod you, I'm taking my lot. You know, half of my lot over to the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll wear red, if you know what I mean. So there you go. So basically, Everton and Liverpool are basically the one team, really.
And because of the system at the moment, the tier system on Merseyside, a lot of those red and blue households are going to have to watch the game together tomorrow, aren't they?
Whereas
they'd say, I want to go so-and-so's house, or I'll go up the pub, they're going to have to watch it in the same house.
Exactly.
So, it's going to be interesting.
And that's what's good about it, you know what I mean? you know,
yeah.
and the banter is great with, you know, it's not as bad as, like, you know, Man U, if you know what I mean, or Man City. But
it's different.
Yeah, yeah.
But the banter with Liverpool and all that, you know, you know, as you say, you can live next door to a blue and all that.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, look, we look forward to the game. It's and you'll hear Paul reading that fantastic poem in the build-up to the game. It's on game day, so join our team from 11 o'clock to bring the build-up to the Merseyside derby. Lovely to see you, Paul. Take care. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me. Thank you very much.
There we are. Actor Paul Barber there. It's Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from TalkSport.
Time then to look at some of the best sporting telly of the week in the company of our very own Martin Kellner. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon to you, boys. Are you all right?
Yes, good. Thank you. I'm looking down your list of what's coming up. I've just seen you've tweeted it out to your many followers.
Yes, indeed.
And things I've seen. And we're going to kick off with this, one Andy has seen as well, which was the Coach's Playbook series on Netflix. And if we haven't had enough of Jose Mourinho talking with the Spurs documentary All or Nothing, we've got another 35-minute helping.
Yes, it's very postmodern. I mean, it starts off with an empty chair. Jose Mourinho comes in and says, "I'm here." He brushes down his jacket. There's a clapperboard. And then they start with the questions. So first of all, they say, what are your earliest childhood memories? And he says, "I don't want to speak," basically. Yeah. Then they say, "Were there any early experiences that shaped your philosophy?" "No, I don't want to talk about that." And I thought, this is going to be a long 34 and a half minutes. But he really didn't. He said, and then they said to him, "Where did you learn things that became valuable to you later in life?" And he said, "Who, me?" And they, "No, Benedict Cumberbatch." "Yes, you." You know? I mean, it's just ridiculous. Anyway, I mean, there are very few secrets in it. I mean, basically, it tells us what we know about Jose Mourinho, and that is he's all about the team, you know, and he builds phenomenal team spirit. And you see lots of that at Inter Milan, obviously at Chelsea. You know, you see the connection he had with people like John Terry and all that. And it goes over incidents that I suppose have been really well documented, but that's Netflix for you. Netflix often doesn't tell us a lot that we don't already know. It does it quite stylishly. And then, of course, at the end, it goes on to the next one. So you find yourself watching, I don't know whether you did this, Andy, but you do find yourself watching Patrick Mouratoglou, who's Serena Williams's coach. I think that's how you pronounce it. Mouratoglou. Yeah, that'll be that.
Yes.
And he's Serena Williams' coach. So you go on to the next thing, and it's sort of, you know, I mean, a lot of the stuff we'd seen before. The Anders Frisk incident, we know all about that, don't we? And then when he was banned and he sneaked in and hid in the laundry basket.
It was fully explained, though, which I don't think I've ever heard him do. But it strikes me,
Martin.
He
admitted it. Had he ever completely admitted it before?
I don't think so. But
no, that's true.
It strikes me, Martin, that you'd like to see Benedict Cumberbatch in the Spurs dugout on Sunday.
Very much so. I certainly don't want to see Gareth Bale. I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah. I imagine he'll be on the bench.
The Doc Rivers one we both really enjoyed. It's
Doc
excellent.
Rivers, the Clippers coach, is excellent. That's worth watching. He's an impressive guy, so I'd recommend that one. But there, look, there, the anything that, you know, lasts, you know, half an hour. It's just half an hour of your time. They're diverting. They're interesting. They're well made. I quite like the series. Watch the rest of them, I think. Yeah,
They are well made. I think I'm getting a bit down on Netflix mainly because of their true crime stuff, which they're obsessed with at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, the American murder, The Family Next Door, which I thought was nonsense, although loads and loads of people are watching it.
Oh.
What I did think was a fantastic programme was My Year with MND.
Yeah, I saw this, Martin. I was saying yesterday, we spoke to Stuart Weir, who does a lot of work with Doddy Weir and obviously knows Rob through that, and has said that it was a tough watch, but it was an incredible bit of telly, wasn't it, really?
It was heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. I mean, I vaguely know Rob Burrow in that they all had memories of Rob Burrow, and there's people like Kevin Sinfield and Barry McDermott on it, you know, big names in rugby league. My only memory of Rob Burrow was that, my only sort of experience with Rob Burrow was many years ago, I was doing the breakfast show at BBC Radio Leeds, and one of these stupid reports about caravanners, you know, it's about people who have caravans or idiots or whatever. whatever. And I get this, I see this report, and it's like 7:30 in the morning. I said, do you know anybody who's got a caravan who we can take the Mickey out of? And the sport guy said, Rob Burrow's got a caravan. Yeah. And I thought, well, let's ring him up, just on the off chance he might come on and have the Mickey taken out of him. And he comes on the radio, like he's just scored a try in the grand final, the Super League and everything. Mm. And he said, yeah, I'll do that. I'll go for that. And, for a quarter of an hour on the show, we just took the Mickey out of him because he loves his caravan. And, of course, the caravan's in the show because you see him going there, Scarborough, the northeast there, with his whole family. And I just thought that sums what a great guy was and why is and why everybody, everybody contributed to this. And, it's a program that's impossible to watch with a dry eye. It really is. And great work by Sally Nugent.
It was very well made. She's followed sort of Rob's story forward a year, really, since diagnosis. We spoke to him very early on in the diagnosis, and it catches people in different ways. We've seen with Doddy, he's had issues, as have everybody, but it affected his speech very early on, Rob, didn't it? And that's obviously a real frustration, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they were saying he's recorded, obviously, what he did sound like and everything.
Yeah.
And it's, like I said, it's absolutely heartbreaking, but it's well worth watching. It's on again tomorrow in the run-up to the Challenge Cup final, because Salford playing Leeds tomorrow in that. And in the run-up to it on the Beeb, they're showing that documentary again. So it's well worth seeing.
Yeah, you've got on the iPlayer.
What is it this weekend?
It's a crazy amount of sport. So what else? Just finally, Martin, is there anything else that you spotted?
Yes, indeed. I watched Match of the Day X, which is back. Jermaine Jenas.
Is that you are very much the target audience, Match of the Day X,
Martin. Totally.
Core audience for it, I think.
Absolutely. It's Jermaine Jenas, Chelsea Grimes, Reese Parkinson. Big Zoo was a guest week, so I'm a huge fan of Big Zoo. I enjoy the show because I like to see young people enjoying themselves. I think that's fun, especially
it's
in these
lovely, isn't it?
Times.
Really, sit in your chair and watch them enjoying themselves.
And I had no idea what they were talking about. But for some unknown reason, they do it in a derelict building somewhere. Right. And it looked like that. Yeah, I don't know.
Is it budget cuts to the BBC? Could it be that?
It might be to subsidise Zoe Ball's wages or something. I don't know. But they do it in this sort of derelict building. And I like to think that's keeping it real.
Very much. Yes. Finally, MVG, the story so far. A bit of a darts documentary you watched.
Yeah, it was a little darts documentary on Sky. Basically, there is no story.
Okay.
Nothing to see at all. I mean, God bless Dan Darts Dawson, good chum, he's very good, and he spent a day with Michael van Gerwen.
Yeah.
But there's no story. He found out he had an aptitude. The only story is he lost his hair, obviously. It's interesting seeing him with hair. But apart from that, there's not a great deal in it. He discovered at 17 that he was, he had a capacity for darts. Mm. Took him to the cafe that he trains at. He spoke to a Dutch commentator on darts and said, Michael is Michael. There's nothing, and literally said,
there's no Sid Waddell then.
Yeah,
there's no. It's not a Sid Waddell story in any way whatsoever.
Wow.
But presumably it was just a plug. The fact that the darts was there on Sky.
I played darts with him, Martin, and the thing I know, it was a sort of promotional thing, and I'd be surprised
if he was mate.
He beat me. He beat me. I had a game of darts
with
him.
Did he really?
Andy, I know it's a shocker, isn't it? But I noticed he was a very committed smoker. I don't know if he's kicked the habit since, but he was basically lighting one with the one he was putting out. There was very little breaks in the smoking he was indulging in, and you rarely see that these days. I would imagine he may have kicked the habit since, but that was one of the things I took away, apart from the humping I took, of course, at the dartboard. Yeah.
No, well, he didn't have a cigarette in this whole this whole program. So,
okay.
And it wasn't mentioned.
Oh, okay. You wouldn't lead with that, would you? Legend and heavy smoker, Michael van Gerwen. So anyway, we'll leave it there, Martin. You're back overnight, aren't you, I understand, on TalkSport and Talk Radio.
Yeah, all being well, 1:00 in the morning.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Just a quick bit of housekeeping. We spoke to the guys at Stoke Gabriel FC the other day. They'd had a few issues. They'd let in more goals than any other team at the start of this season. It was 122 goals in 10 games. There was reasons for it. A lot of players had left, etc. They were playing Axminster Tuesday night, and the expectation was maybe they would start to turn things around. But Mark Strong, TalkSport listener, alerts us to the fact they lost 15-0 to Axminster on Tuesday night. We're going to keep an eye on Stoke Gabriel. We want to be there when results turn around. So thanks for letting us know, Mark. But what's worth watching that isn't sport on TV this week? And you'll be hard-pressed to find anything that isn't sport on TV this weekend. But Mike Ward, Brighton supporting star columnist, joins us now. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hi, guys.
Yeah. I mean, even you're on the telly, aren't you? Palace versus Brighton.
I thought you were me. No. Yes, that's true, actually. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed your John Lennon recommendation. I watched Hard Day's Night, I watched all the programme. It was a really terrific entertainment on BBC Four last Friday night.
And it's Cliff's 80 this week.
It's Cliff's 80th, yeah. So they're doing the whole thing. Well, not the whole thing. Obviously, there's a sort of theme going on. Do you know what? They're doing a whole thing of Cliff Richard. And I thought, I wonder what's going to be next week. So I've just looked up who turns 80 next Friday. Do you know who does? It's a famous sporting legend.
80 next week?
Yeah.
Wow, no.
It's going to take forever. It's Pelé.
Pelé's 80th?
Yes.
Wow, they're having a Pelé night?
Pelé night, I hope, on BBC Four next Friday. But for the moment, it's down to tennis legend Sir Cliff.
Oh, OK. So we're going to see Summer Holiday, I see.
Summer Holiday, 1963.
Melvin
Stubbs,
Hayes.
Melvin
Hayes. In their pomp.
Taking their double-decker to Europe.
Yeah.
And then a bit of Sir Cliff at the BBC, you know, dating back to 1958.
Wow,
with really? Move It, his very first song. It's about telling somebody to stop parking outside
his
your house.
His variety show on a Saturday night used to be quite fun.
Oh, yeah, he was Mr. Saturday Night, wasn't he, Cliff?
That's where they used to pit the Eurovision entry.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
they
and
did.
Of course he did that twice as well, which, you know, obviously will be featured as one of the highlights in Sir Cliff at the BBC. Power to all our friends, complete with the arm movements.
Yes.
You know, I'm doing as we speak.
It was a kind of rota system, wasn't it? You'd have Cilla, you'd have Val Doonican, you'd have Cliff, and they just
just went on and on like that forevermore. And a bit of Lulu. Don't forget Lulu.
Lulu, of course, that's right.
She featured in Urban Myths this week, the Jimi Hendrix one.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Very, very good. But I won't spoil it for you. That's a great series as well.
It is.
Arsene Wenger is on Graham Norton.
Yes, he's sitting
in the red chair, I take it.
No,
I have this story, Graham.
Wouldn't that be brilliant?
Camping holiday. Why does he speak like Do you, I'm no Luke Kempner. Yeah, it'd be great if it's some appalling tale from a lad's holiday somewhere.
I just don't see him being up for that somehow.
No.
But anyway, yeah, he's talking about his autobiography.
You actually claim that he's singing a track from his new album better than Arteta, but I think you've made that up, haven't
you? I have made that up, but I like the sound of it. I could see him there sort of doing a couple of numbers from that. That would sell well, wouldn't it?
I wonder who's on with him. I mean, imagine if he's like Miriam Margolyes and him.
Freddie Flintoff's on. Actually.
Talking about his new book and somebody else talking about their new book.
Oh, Strictly's back tomorrow night, Mike?
Yeah, it's the launch show. So we find out who's partnered with who and we get to see how it's all going to be done with the social distancing. No Bruno this series, which is a great loss. The three judges are going to be sitting in individual pods, separated. And we're going to find out how they're
in a bubble. It all sounds a bit grim to me. No audience. I don't bother really. I don't know why they're bothering. It's so desperate, aren't they, for it?
Well, do you know what? I think that's a little bit negative. Yeah. Just a tad.
Well, yeah.
I think it'll be
a
lovely.
Huge show. I mean, people, this is a highlight of some people's. Yeah, like your old nan. Not your old nan, sadly. but someone's old nan. This is. They can't wait for this.
I'll be honest. About 150.
Your old nan. Yeah, imagine Andy's old nan.
Could be in there. No, I think people just want a bit of a normality.
123,
actually. Okay, yeah, he's doing the maths now. Sorry, we've lost him. We've lost him, Mike.
All right, you carry on.
The Million Pound Cube celebrity special.
Celebrity, yes, it's very strange. They just stick the word celebrity in the wrong place in titles now. Celebrity Million Pound Cube? No, it's called the Million Pound Cube Celebrity. Million Pound Cubed Celebrity.
Wife doesn't like this. She's my guide to these
games. Does
she
not like
that? She liked that. She introduced me to that one with what's his name? Rochelle Humes.
I
thought that was quite fun, actually, the music one.
The music one's quite good, yeah. I quite like that.
You like that?
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
The one where people go into this Philips Perspex, giant Perspex box and do various sort of mental and physical challenges. So they're doing Jason Manford and his brother. And basically, it's a celebrity special to start off. And then next week, every night at 9 o'clock throughout next week, it's fill it back with more cube. Not the celebrity version, just the regular version.
Okay.
So you might want to seriously link that, Andy, I think.
A new 9 o'clock BBC One Sunday night drama. Hugh Laurie's in it. Helen McCrory, good cast. Looks very good from what I've seen in the trailers. Looks very interesting.
Yeah, this is Hugh Laurie. Hugh Laurie. I've no idea who he is. He's standing in for Hugh Laurie, who in turn was standing in for Arsene Wenger. Starring in David Hare, playwright David Hare, who's written this thing. It's about conservative minister who seems very, very sort of man of the people, and everything's sort of going swimmingly for him. And then various skeletons start rattling to emerge from his cupboard. So as the weeks pass, we'll find that his past is a little murkier than initially.
Is this one of these that they do sort of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or is it
it's going to be a Sunday thing. It can't compete with The Cube, can it?
No, that's very true.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Mike, thanks so much.
Cheers, guys.
Have a great, enjoy the game this weekend as much as you can. Enjoy the Palace. Are you feeling confident ahead of the Palace match?
Of course not.
He's
a football fan.
Of course. Mike Ward there from The Star with the non-telly. Now, we set you to work a little bit earlier on for one of the clips. This was the Two Ronnie style clip from Travel.
Down to a single lane southbound between junctions 36 and 35 towards the M18 near Doncaster. It's because of a spillage of chicken offal.
So we asked you to give us your best Two Ronnies equivalent to that, and a couple of people haven't put their names on them, but they said police are at the scene of the accident, but they're saying there's no suspicion of foul play.
Not bad.
Traffic is entrailing back over 2 miles, said one of the other listeners.
Better, yeah.
And Dave in Tunbridge said police are searching for a lorry load of chicken carcasses so they can identify the victims. Keep it light, Dave. Goodness me. 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And, I've got another one as well. I've got another one coming. Let's have a look at that. Where's it gone? Yes. This is from... Ewan McIntosh has got in touch from the office. He says, police insist they are abreast of events. Well done to everybody that came up with stuff at short notice.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We're back next week. Joe Marler from the World of Rugby joins us. Kevin Day makes a welcome return. Hugh Cornwell will join us as well from the Stranglers. So until then, have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall.
Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.